Ahoy there, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with starving artists and people going to the farmer's market. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Yeah, what's been going on? How have you been in the last day since we recorded?
Dude, I am sore. I went to play pickup today.
And I know your New Year's resolution was to not be the worst person on the pitch.
Let's not talk about that. No, I scored a goal today. That was fun. But in general, it was one of those days where...
Classic just, Adrian bicycle kick?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't take... I don't know, man. Sometimes the vibes just get so thrown off from people getting pissy and stuff. And it's like, dude, we're all adults here. This is a crazy way. Like some people get so angry and it's like, don't you have like a wife and child to beat at home? Why are you bringing this to the soccer pitch? This is where we're supposed to have fun. We're supposed to be having fun here.
I know. It's like, join a league if you really want to take it seriously, because then you can have a team of people who are taking it as seriously as you. But
yeah.
Pickup seems like the wrong place for that energy.
It's crazy work, yeah. But other than that, it was fun. Other than that, I meal prepped a little bit, and that's about it. Just trying to chill, trying to hang out.
Do you feel like it gets targeted at you because you're not like the fastest person or the...
No, I wasn't making a lot of mistakes today. I was doing fine.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. I was holding it down on the D.
I don't know. That would be so, like, I don't think I would show up if somebody was, like, upset with me for not being good. I'd be like, that's it. I'm packing it up.
That's kind of the issue. We've had multiple people do that, and, like, other people be like, one guy was literally like, I'm going to stop playing if you keep talking to me like this. And it was like, God, you guys just got to be normal. But Bob does that a lot, where he will, like, point someone out for doing something wrong. And it's like, man, you got to chill, dog. He's also the first person to tell you you did a good job if you do a good job defending him. So he's kind of, he's equal with the praise and the criticism. Whereas, once again, the dudes from the islands, and then today, my boy Edward. I don't know why, out of nowhere, he was getting really pissy today, which he's like a very friendly guy. He did not like the refereeing of the game that we have to do ourselves.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does seem like a tough... I mean, you would think what would make that work out better is, like, if you switch up teams every time, you would think people wouldn't have, like, the energy to care that, like, you know, because it would be like, it's not like it's getting recorded, so, like, why?
Yeah. That was the issue. He picked there was a couple bad calls against the blue team, and he was like, no, I'm not playing against the blue team anymore. They're not honorable men. I was like, okay.
But once again, can't you just next time switch it up? Is it always like the same, you're on the team with the same people?
We really should switch it up more. We usually do like halfway through, but like, yeah, he wasn't, I think they were winning a few games, so they were staying on. And when people were like, hey, we need a sub, can you come in? He'd be like, no, I'm not playing with them. I'm not playing against them. But the only other thing that I had today in terms of things to bring in, I think I had an interesting milestone yesterday where last night I had a dream that I remembered, and I think it's been like years where it wasn't a nightmare. It was just an actual regular dream. So if you want to do some dream interpretation, you want to hear what it was?
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. You really haven't had a non-nightmare dream in years?
Normally, I don't remember my dreams.
Wow. I guess nightmares do wake you up, so there is a higher proportion of remembering them, but I think you said something that you didn't realize was profoundly sadder.
I do that more often these days now that I'm older. But I had a non-anxiety or depression dream, and it was a fun one where I was, it was real Avatar The Last Airbender. I was able to fly if I meditated, but it was like that game where, like, if you lose concentration, you start falling. So at certain points, I was, like, hitting the tops of trees while I was, like, losing focus. But I love how the point of the dream was I had mastered, or not mastered, but I had learned the ability to fly through meditation. And the place that I flew to was Frankie's Fun Park so I could play mini golf for free. That was my dream.
Wait, they charge you for the club. Even if you could fly in, you wouldn't get to play for free.
No. I stole someone else's club.
You'd still have to go to the little
And booth. I didn't have to pay admission.
Well, you could do that without flying.
You could drive. I don't know. Dream Adrian thought it was a great idea. That's what Dream Adrian wanted to do with his new power.
That is a fun dream. I don't think I'm that whimsical in my dreams.
What are you doing in your dreams? Let's interpret yours.
I was going to say, the dreams I usually remember, and I don't think these are like a majority of them, but the ones that stay with me the starkest is I often dream of like made up cities.
Little
like
black mythical girls and little black boys standing hand in hand with. No, are we saying?
Yeah, like mythical cities. Like I'm always just like almost like a fantasy city. Like it'll always be like a long bridge in the middle of the desert, and then there's like a city jutting up out of nowhere. And
you're going there towers to like trade spices, or what are you doing? What is your business there?
I think it's usually various things. Sometimes I do have like really good agility. You know, like how in like in Assassin's Creed, almost like I'll be just parkouring through it or something.
Okay.
Through the yeah, there's a lot the of that.
Famously featureful desert landscape.
No, you're there's parkour. A city in the middle of the desert.
Okay.
That's gotcha. Like jutting out. That's what makes it look epic. You know what movie I think stuck with me a lot as far as like...
Pootie Tang.
He's always in my dreams. As far as influencing dreams, something about the train leaving the spot and what's that Ghibli movie? And Spirited Away. Something about like a train slightly underwater features a lot in those sorts of dreams. I'll be like a way to get to the crazy city or something like that.
I think my interpretation of that is that you are you're a mover and a shaker. Yeah, what about you? What'd you do in between? For the audience, we're doing some back-to-back recordings, so there's not a whole lot that we've done in the last 24
hours.
Yeah,
not too much.
Did you watch any cooking videos for the Super Bowl? Oh, shit. Shout out. I was watching. I wanted to bring him in as his own episode, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. So I'll go ahead and talk about it. Uncle Roger did a video responding to Kenji Lopez Alt calling him out like 3 or 4 years ago. And so, of course, I had to pull it up on my phone while I was watching it on my TV. And I was like, let's check the pinned comments. And then, yep, Kenji responded. And I was like, damn, they're going back and forth. All right.
Wait, why did Kenji call him out?
Oh, he says it leads to racism and makes the world unsafer or more unsafe for Asian people.
Don't you feel like Uncle Roger kind of waited for the culture's opinion to change to respond? I'm going to wait till the broad sweep. Oh, he acknowledged it as a fair opinion. He wasn't like defensive.
No. I think that was part of it, was that Kenji was calling him out like during the height of like people blaming the pandemic on Asian people. Uncle Roger waited 4 years to be like, all right, let's wait until, you know, we're not actually actively worried on the street, and then I'll respond to this critique from Kenji.
You know, I love Kenji. I think he probably, maybe I should listen to the points. My opinion is, I think the people watching Uncle Roger, and it's hard to know who knows what, I think the people watching Uncle Roger probably have an appreciation for the culture, and usually are people who are like, I can relate to that, I have a foreign family member, more than people who are like, that accent's so funny, it sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know what I mean? But maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. Maybe he does have a contingent of like fans.
I think it was overall pretty amicable. Kenji's response was like at the end of it, like, if you want to film together and we can have a conversation beforehand, we can do that.
He's doing the J. Cole dropping game on who was that rapper who did Gucci
was
Gang?
It 6ix9ine or no Lil Pimp.
Lil Pump.
Lil Pump, that's what Trump called him.
Lil Pimp, that's awesome.
Lil Pimp. Yeah, so I think it's one of those things where I think a reasonable take on it would be that they're both right in their own personal worldview, because that's what they're coming at it with. But yeah, I don't know. I think Tin also doesn't like Uncle Roger, so he's got some haters in the street.
Ooh, okay, well, maybe because Kenji's half Japanese, right?
Yeah, just Japanese? Half Japanese?
Or just, I don't know.
Maybe half Japanese.
But Tin is actually Vietnamese, so he's more... Yeah. So maybe Vietnamese people don't like Uncle
Roger. That's where it felt a little bit dirty when Uncle Roger was pointing out things that made him more Asian than Kenji and saying that to be like, see, I'm right about this.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things, right, where we've talked about it before. Like, our parents don't have the same worldview as us. Obviously, like, second generation usually has a different interpretation of what's offensive. Most people from, like, if you don't live in America, of course an American doing your accent's going to feel fun. And it's like, if you live in America, you deal with racism here.
It's
going to feel different. So, if anything, being more Asian or, like, living... Ooh, maybe I shouldn't use his framing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that,
Asian,
yeah.
But, maybe being more from the motherland.
Unless the thing that you said about being half Japanese was right, in which case he is more Asian than Kenji.
But you know what I mean? Maybe being more from the motherland doesn't necessarily give him more right to say whether or not something is.
Oh, yeah. That's the most annoying thing about every comment in that comment section was, as an Asian man born in Asia, I got the right take on this.
It's like, maybe Asian Americans have to deal with Asian American racism. Yeah. Asian American racism, so they have a different view of it.
Have you and your siblings ever fought about who's the most Lebanese or the least American? Or do you not have weird siblings like Dora Lee who try and make that a point where everyone goes, I don't know what you're trying to say?
I don't think that's ever come up. I don't think any of us would really have a claim to it other than they speak better Arabic than me. But I don't think they're really like committed to the I'm more Arabs than you.
We had a conversation about that when we were all together at the beach like 2 years ago, I guess, in August. Me, Dorley, and Nando were talking about it. And Dorley and Nando were going back and forth talking about how
much
Latin music...
I'm
going
to give it to Nando for speaking Spanish organically, and you, number two, for learning Spanish. Sorry, Dorley.
Ooh, damn. Okay. Well, they were talking about how much Latin music they listen to and all this stuff. And my brother and I are sitting at the table, and I tell him, I say... You know, when Amy Césaire and Senghor started the Negritude movement, there was a famous detractor of their writings who said, they're writing about Negritude this, Negritude that, about being a proud black man. Does a tiger need to clear his Tigritude? And my brother nods his head, understanding what I'm saying, and Dorley says, I didn't know what any of those words meant. And then she keeps going back to what she was talking about before.
All right, do you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Farmer's market.
Yeah. Davis staple. That's one of those things where when I leave, I'm going to have to get a Davis farmer's market hat.
Oh. Well, you already left Davis.
I still go to the farmer's market every other weekend.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, that was going to be how I started the conversation. I like the idea. I don't really get to I do get to farmer's markets often, but usually for like a coffee and a walk around.
Yeah.
I don't really
make it.
That's
what I did on Saturday.
I don't really make it my thing to buy my produce from farmers markets because the one that's closest to me is the produce is so expensive and not particularly good.
Mm.
It is pretty tiny too, but and then in Charlotte, there was a really good farmers market, but it was like a 30-minute drive out. I think it was just called the farmers market. Yeah, I also wasn't going to that because it was so far away. So I guess city farmers markets are convenient and fun to walk around, but clearly, they're kind of gimmicks where everything's overpriced, and then
yeah.
Other farmers market, like real ones in the South, are usually pretty far away.
Yeah, the one that's really good in Columbia, you have to drive out towards Charleston a little bit to get there. I had a really good pimento grilled cheese at that one, though.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been to that one. The one we went to, like when I was growing up, we did shop at the farmers market, but we went to the one out towards Columbia from Lexington.
West Columbia. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the one that I go to regularly, I go to because I'm tabling at, so it's kind of more to hang out with friends than to shop. Although, I will tell this story. I did a nut study at Davis. It was a very quick survey where they were promising $10 to the Davis Farmers Market if you completed the study. And I was like, you know what? I got some time. I'll do this study. I do this study. It asks me about how much nuts I eat on a daily basis or a weekly basis. And then it shows me some pictures of poop and asks me what my poop normally looks like. And that was it. $10 in my pocket. So they asked me for my address. And for some reason, I misread the bar where I was asking for your address. And I thought they were asking for my zip code. So I just put my zip code. I submitted it and was like, fuck, I'm not going to get anything. The researcher emails me personally the next day to be like, hey, can you give me your full address? We want to send you the thing. So I think because of that, they accidentally sent me two. So I got $20 from them for the farmer's market, and they overpaid me on one of them, so I got $22 to the farmer's market for doing a 10-minute survey, which is not bad.
Wow.
And I still haven't used those bucks yet.
And I assume because Davis is actually a farming town, the farmer's market there actually has reasonably priced produce and, like, some good stuff.
No, so I'll take you through the one that I know the best. This Saturday, I was at the Midtown Farmer's Market in Sacramento. I used to live near Oak Park, which I think used to have a farmer's market, but then it got... it wasn't sustainable for whatever reason. The Midtown one's good, but we were walking around and like my old roommate's like, so are you gonna get anything here? I was like, I want a coffee and I want to walk around, but no, I'm not buying anything. This farmer's market is like where you go to be seen and go to see. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I saw like three people that I knew there. So I was wearing my Flyest fit. There was a honey when I was waiting for my coffee. He told me that she liked my fit. She was like, I like your shirt. I like the whole outfit.
Well, that type of farmer's market, there's also usually literally like a stand where somebody's selling honey and there's samples of it. Those are the type of farmer's markets where people have like, yeah, their little food stands where they're giving you samples versus like
a
Lexington.
Oh, I did
want to
bring that in. Yeah.
Yeah. Versus like a Lexington farmer's market where it actually was a bit more about the produce and the local farmers bring it in.
Yeah. Vince did have a moment where he got caught up by, I think you've been caught by this too, the thing where I'm just way too nice to people showing me a free sample, and it's like I have no intention to buy, but like I definitely am like, I'll entertain this, I guess, for if this is what you wanted to do right now, I guess.
Yeah,
because I was a guy asked if I wanted to try some chai tea or some like hot cocoa chai, and I was like, oh, I've already got my chai for the day. And he was like, let's do a comparison test, let's do a taste test. And I was like, okay, sure. And so we start doing that.
Well, I can't say yours is worse. There's no chance I'm allowed to say that.
Well, we start doing it, and I'm trying like his spicy version and stuff, and like I'm looking at the thing, a bag is $35, and I was like, all right, thank you, after a little bit. And Vince and I are in a bike shop right after that, and he's like, god, I really thought you were about to buy from that guy. And I was gonna be like, Adrian, we can go to the store, we can get some cayenne pepper and some hot cocoa mix, and we can make what this guy's making. And I was like, no, I wasn't gonna buy anything. I'm always too nice to those people.
Yeah, usually I'm strong enough not to buy, but like I said, sometimes you just get a little taken by the thing.
Sometimes they get you.
Yeah, which, although, I mean, I guess is why they're trying so hard with the trying to keep the conversation going.
One of the tea shops that I went to was doing free smells. That was their version of free samples. They had little cups of all the teas. Yeah. They had cups of all the teas, and you could smell them. And then one lady gave me some pound cake. It was very funny because I asked the very obvious question of, what's the difference between blueberry lemon pound cake and lemon blueberry pound cake? And she was like, the primary flavor. And I was like, all right, that makes sense. She was like, you want to try both? And I was like, I'm not going to buy any for sure. Mm. But anyway, so let me take you through the Davis Farmers Market, which I know the best. So I'm in the weirdo section where all the people, like the flat earthers, the pro-Israel people, and like other like advocacy organizations
Why
are.
Why are there always, does your farmer's market also have a guy wearing an Israel flag walking around?
No, we have there is a stand though. There are people who come out.
Oh, okay. No, but no cape. Okay. That's no just cape. Something
some,
I saw here.
We got some babblers. We got some people who were on like the sidewalk, like yelling at people about their damnation or whatever. And then we're also out there. But then when you actually walk through it, there's the section where dogs aren't allowed. That's when you actually go to the actual produce and stuff. Before that, it's a lot of vendors. So coffee, popcorn, hand pies, usually some shit like that. Then there's the actual produce section. Then after that is where all the local businesses set up to do like, oh, the dumpling house is doing stuff today, or the hot dogger is doing hot dogs today. And then that's basically it. It's not the hugest farmer's market, but it is nice. I have to talk to people about socialism there, and you definitely see people, you know, I always see some like former students and stuff while I'm there. Yeah. And then I never went to the Oak Park one. And oh, I went to the farmer's market with Phil when I was I went to the Soda City market in Columbia, and that was really nice. Theirs is a lot bigger than ours.
Yeah, Soda City's pretty nice. The Greenville, like, I guess it, you know, it doesn't even call itself a farmer's market, but it's similar to Soda City in that it's like a street market.
Yeah. Yeah, we have elements of that in our Midtown one where there's like vintage clothes sellers, which they have a lot of in Columbia. I have my friend in Columbia who sells the oyster shuckers with her husband. Yeah, it's a little bit less of the like trinket stores. There's a little bit less of that. I definitely am. I'll say that I'm not like an underground farmer's market guy. There's definitely better markets that people know of that are within the same driving distance, but I go to the big one that everyone goes to.
Yeah.
I'm not, because I'm not really doing shopping there.
I mean, like I said, the one a couple blocks from me is nice, but I mean, it's like 10 stands. It's pretty tiny, and there's definitely better, bigger, nicer ones in DC I've been to, but the one that's two or three blocks from me is clearly going to be the actual like one I'm going to go to for a coffee on a Sunday morning.
It does seem like Izzy would be big into that. I'm surprised she's not into the...
No, not particularly.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Izzy, founding base member of Gout, I found out recently. Shout out to them. That's my media roundup. I listened to some Gout recently.
Yeah. Did you listen to Gout, or did you listen to the song they covered by the Bruisers?
No. I listened to the song that they covered by Bruiser Brigade.
They No? Different artist.
No, I'm pretty sure they did that one.
And can you do your Bruiser Wolf impression real quick?
Things were intense, like hammering rounds. Love Bruiser Wolf.
That does seem like if he was more famous, there would be a lot of impressions of him. There would be a lot of TikToks of being like, this is how Bruiser Wolf sounds on a song.
This is how you would be ordering coffee at the farmer's market.
POV, meet Bruiser Wolf. Can I have a coffee? Yes, sir. Decaf, please.
Your girl needed a transplant, and guess who was the organ donor? He's legitimately clever.
He's really good.
Mm-hmm. And man, that one song that's really emotional, it really gets me. Mama was a dope fiend. Whereas the last album didn't really have anything too emotional on it, just bangers. But not talking about Bruiser Wolf, talking about the farmer's market. I've bought olive oil before. That was the most recent purchase that I actually made, because I haven't used my study dollars yet.
You know, I don't know where olives grow. Is that imported then, or is it?
Oh, baby, we grow olives like crazy in California. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. There's also a cool dude who I kind of want to buy from. He does. He has a goat farm, so he brings in like goat cheese and stuff like that. And then also the people who bake bread and stuff. That stuff always looks really good.
I was out in like a busy drinking street like a couple months ago in DC, like next to Howard on U Street. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy at 11 p.m. with a goat out there, which you know. You always see snake guys out, like, on, like, drinking streets.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first time I saw, like, a guy with a goat doing that. Like, people want to take pictures with my goat. Yeah, feel free. Like, everybody was, like, crowding him and taking pictures with the goat. I was like, that is a... You know, I don't know why snake guys do it. And I definitely don't know why a goat guy does it. I don't know what the incentive is.
For some reason, snakes seem unbothered by all that. I feel like snakes wouldn't care, and so it seems more ethical. But the goat, that seems stressful.
Are they trying to meet people? Is that how they're meeting girls? Is that what, like, maybe, or are they trying to get tips? Like, what's the point of bringing your snake out to,
maybe the goat's trying to get laid.
He's wingmanning for the goat.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, they just released a movie about my life, starring Steph Curry.
Oh.
Have you seen that? Have you seen the advertisement for the goat movie?
The goat's a liar.
It's loosely based on my life.
I have not seen the advertising for that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's about a goat who plays basketball, and he's the goat.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are the players you're better than at pickup soccer? The goat that shows up?
Yeah. He's bad. Yeah, I don't know. Anything else? Anything about trying the free samples, about getting the produce, about, there is one guy who's been going there for a long time, because it's been a long time since I went to the farmer's market. My issue with him, because he sells homemade Pakistani food that you can basically get as like a meal prep for the week. You get a little deli container of a curry and like some naan. You get like a few of those and you're good for the week. It's just, it's a very small deli container. It's like one of those like quarter cup like deli containers. And I was like, that's like technically probably how much you're supposed to eat for a meal. But like for whatever price he's making us pay, I don't think that's enough to justify the purchase.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what their margins are. There's a pickle guy here who I like, and I bought from him a couple times, but I think it, like, the price didn't go up that much, but it went up just enough that I was like, before I felt like I was overpaying for something that was particularly good, and now it's like scandalously priced, even going up like $2. It went from
you lost your pickle guy?
Yeah, yeah, it went from like $8 to $10, and I was like, okay, that's too much for a thing of pickles. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem like his line's getting any shorter, and I'm sure it's, I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, you probably only get good sales once or twice a week on the days where those markets are open, and you probably have to pay a lot for the stand, so I'm not saying he's overpricing, but...
Yeah, I actually, so I know a little bit just from the text chain about how our thing works, but basically ours is free, you just reserve it. We're in what is called, which is, feels very Davis, it feels because... It's not like anything else I've seen in another farmer's market that it has all these organizations that go to their table. But we have what we've ordained a free speech zone where as long as you email ahead of time that you want a space, you can get a space to be at the farmer's market. And that's the loophole that we use to get in there.
Got you. But sellers have to pay a fee. Or have you ever thought about testing how much free speech you're actually allowed to do there?
No, but the Flat Earth guy does. He does a lot of free speaking to underage girls.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. You want to get into columns?
Yeah. Mine is from Whole Foods Daddy. Dear Whole Foods Daddy Farmer's Market Guide, your burning questions on romaine romance asked and answered. I have never heard of this one before, but it came up when I was looking for farmer's market questions. How do you respectfully shoot your shot with the hot farmer selling you organic kale? Now, see, maybe it's just the way the Davis one works. I'm not very convinced that the people selling it are the people who actually farm it.
No, and I've seen local news stories that pop up from time to time about, like, it's a very common, like, the journalist goes to the local farmer's market and takes a video of them, and it, like, shows that they're actually just reselling the same stuff the grocery store gets, or, like, unboxing it from, like, so.
That's cool, though.
Yeah. It's like the people will like film them taking it out of the truck, and it has the same label as like the wholesaler that sends it to the farmer's market.
Ooh,
or who sends it to the supermarket.
Yeah.
So I don't know how often it's truly like locally farmed either.
I tend to believe it just based on where we live in California, but I think the people that are selling it seems like the son or daughter of the person, or like some kind of like young person they put out in front who's better at selling than the gruff farmer.
Oh.
That's what I meant, less than the fraud thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's probably true.
Kale from the farmer's market. This person's living a good life.
Yeah. So this is kind of a generic question about how do you approach somebody in public. Honestly, they're a service industry person. You can't...
Oh, you're problematic, honey.
I don't know if they're problematic. There's just no way to distinguish from politeness because they're trying to sell you something. They're actually interested in talking to you.
I would say no, you should wait until they're off the clock. Although then the question is, when are you ever going to see that guy again?
Are you assuming it's a man just because they're a farmer? Women can be farmers too, Adrian.
Then when are you going to see that lady again?
But you're right. I was also imagining a man in overalls with rippling biceps.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Straw hat. And no shirt for some reason. It's like, sir, put on a shirt under your overalls.
He's got a farmer's tan.
Wouldn't the Reddit answer be to come up with a kale-based pun?
Why don't you romaine calm and leaf with me, and we can do canal. Does that work? I don't know the other kale puns. And I'll spinach around on that dick.
Man, we don't have any spinach here.
And I'll I can't do anything with arugula.
Do you want to read the professional's advice, or do you have anything else to say to this person?
I don't got that much else to say. Let's see. All right. From, let's see, who's doing this? This is from Gabby Vermeer, from last year, actually right after my birthday. Here we go. It's generally unethical to shoot your shot with anyone serving you while they're on the clock. Okay, they hit the same point we did. Where the pressures of customer service could create the unpleasant choice of accepting a date with someone they're not into or risk offending you, the customer, who is legendarily always right. Oh, wait, this is supposed to be a funny advice column. Hey. I feel you, brother. Buy the kale and then come back to the stand with nothing but two lacinato fragments covering your nipples. How are they staying on? Highland honey samples, duh. And seductively purr, hey baby, guess what else you should probably wash before eating, but definitely won't.
Lacinato, I googled, is a type of kale.
Oh, okay. Big nipples. Or a lot of coverage. For the sake of information for our audience, I'm also going to read the tips for creating a farmer's market supper of your dreams. 1. Become a creature of Wednesday night market. If Saturday market feels too, oh my god, I am way too high to be overstimulated right now, the Wednesday night one is the more intimate indica-coated sister. Shopping for dinner on an empty stomach is also an exciting and enticingly Euro exercise in bad decision-making. 2. Sample the unsamplable. Everyone knows buying the first carrots of the season is some messed up Russian roulette. You're either biting into a sweet, crisp boy or gagging on an overwintered but totally mid tuber that feels like chomping down on a climbing shoe. No samples? Demand one. You're worth it. 3. Text your dinner date. Cooking bad. Baby girl hungry? Papusa good. From Dear Whole Foods Daddy.
Do you know what a Euro exercise is? Shopping for dinner on an empty stomach is an enticingly Euro exercise in bad decision making.
I thought it meant European. I don't know.
Uh-huh. The Europeans are famous for their bad decision making?
Yeah.
I feel like somebody would get this. It's just not me.
Yeah. There's a lot of things I didn't get in that one. I'm scared. I need an adult.
No cap.
Okay, yeah, so I brought in a Dear Abby, and this is about somebody who got sold a farm stand. So it's a pretty classic issue you have to deal with.
Yeah, it happens to all of us.
Oh, farmstead. Okay, so actually, this is just a farmer.
okay.
My brain read farmstead as farm stand. I need a second opinion. My grandfather sold me an old farmstead that has been in the family for 200 years. Last week, he showed me a wooded area behind the barn with a human skull. He told me that when his father died more than 50 years ago, he was curious about how long it would take the body to decompose. So he left the body in the woods to keep track of its progress. He has 50 years worth of pictures and notes. He told the rest of the family that great-grandpa had been cremated, and apparently no one questioned him about the ashes. At this point, the skull is all that's left. I checked with a lawyer who tells me that in my state, no laws were broken. That said, I don't want my great-grandfather's skull sitting in the woods behind my barn. My husband says I should quietly bury it, burn the pictures and the notes, and forget about it. That just doesn't feel right to me. It feels like I'm helping my grandfather get away with something and feels icky. Should I tell the rest of the family or continue allowing them to believe that great-granddad was cremated? I'm resenting my grandfather for putting me in the middle of this, and any advice you have would be greatly appreciated. Bought more than I bargained for.
Well, they already got through the most important thing, which is the legality of it. I mean, legality doesn't equate to morality, but in this case, I'm not that bummed by this. I don't know.
Really? That's psychotic. You just learned your grandfather probably murdered your great-granddad.
No. That's not true.
He's a sicko who is getting on disrespecting his body.
I'm a man of science, and the guy had a question. He's doing the scientific method. He had a question. He had a hypothesis. He had an observation. He had a hypothesis.
What was his hypothesis? That it would decompose and look gross?
Yeah, it'd be like, yeah, it'd probably be gone after like 50 years. And he's like, yeah, apparently not. That's cool.
What happened to the rest of the bones? I think he decapitated your great-granddad.
The bones don't decompose, right? The bones stay. Isn't that what's...
Yeah, but why is this only the skull? Did animals take away the other bones?
Was it a shallow grave, or did he dig it up to show that the skull was there? Or did he leave the skull out?
No, I think he left the body on the floor to take pictures of it decomposing.
Oh, well then, yeah, then you're going to have... That's how you get ants. Do you want ants? Because that's how you get ants.
No, he definitely killed your great-grandfather.
No. So you think he killed the great-grandfather, and people had no questions after he didn't show
a
body?
Why else would he keep a trophy around?
I've watched Dexter. The trophy is a little bit of blood that you put onto a slide. It's not... You don't keep the whole body as a trophy. The fuck? That's not a thing.
I never said anything about fucking the body. You've just added that.
You called him a sicko.
He's a sicko.
I know what the implication
is. This man's a freak.
Nah, I think it's cool. He's an old farmer dude.
That is funny that she was ready to send her grandfather to jail over this.
Straight to jail. That's crazy. Not only did he sell her the thing, but afterwards be like, yeah, now go to jail.
I want to know the energy he did this with. Did he do it with like a really solemn, like that's what we need to know. Or was it, you want to see something fucking sick?
Yeah, that's because it is. That's a good point. He should have shown them earlier. Honestly, you could have had a discount if you had known that it was there.
He took pictures of it. Dude, this guy is a fucking...
Yeah, more artistic
insane.
Would be to sketch it.
Yeah.
They sit there and sketch it.
You want him to be like a 19th century scientist.
Like a naturalist. Yeah. That's what they used to say, that like, I don't know if I could have been a biologist back in those days. You had to be a good artist, too.
I think you have it in you.
Like Gatorade.
It's not like you have shaky hands or anything. You could have learned to sketch.
I do have shaky hands, famously.
You wouldn't be disturbed if your father showed you a body out behind the house and was like, oh yeah, that was
my granddad's.
I just wanted to see what would happen.
I would have been like, well, first of all, you told me all my life that you have no idea where he is now or whether or not he's alive or not, so kind of fucked up.
Okay, you're right, this hypothetical is hard for you.
Yeah, this ain't working for me. I'd be like, we know where he was this whole time.
Why the lie? If he's just like, oh, this is just an interesting thing to do, why'd he have to lie to the family? He knew
because
it was
of people
wrong.
Like you. If I was his family, he wouldn't have had to lie. We would have been taking pictures together, going out every 6 months, checking out on things, keeping a data log.
Like,
and you know what?
Like,
and he would have been like, when I die, put me next to him. We gotta do a replicated study.
You know, we know what happens to human bodies if they're left out after they die. You don't have to do that.
Not
study
under these
yourself.
Conditions. Not under these specific conditions.
Not behind my particular farmstead.
Mm-hmm. That was one of my friend's pet peeves, was people writing grants for animal research and being like, well, we know all about this in this animal, but we don't know about it in this closely related species. And it's like, we don't need to. We're fine. We know about this in gorillas, but we don't know about it in macaques. Okay, fine. We're good. We don't need to do it then. Shout out to Carter.
I mean... Maybe let sleeping dogs lie. Maybe you don't want to complicate your life like this.
He's a dead dog, too. That would be a cool experiment. You want to know, like, if comparatively.
If you want to add a complication to your life, I think the next step is to DNA test it, because that's a horror movie scene right there when you get back the DNA test.
Oh, it's not your granddad?
It's like, yeah.
That would be sick. This is where you watching Bones every night after work comes into play, where you're like, wait. But that pelvis, that would be a woman's pelvis.
Oh, shit. That would be creepy. That's a good creepy moment.
That's a good horror movie right there, yeah. A little contrived for how they figured it out, but...
And then he walks into the room right as you're looking at the results that came in through the mail. He's like, what you looking at?
What you looking at, sweetheart? My pictures again? The sick pictures I took?
The husband's advice also seems bad to me. It feels like you're covering something up. Burn the photos. Destroy the evidence.
That felt more like discomfort than anything, but yeah, I don't know. Do you think he needs a proper burial? Do you think dig it up, put it onto a ship, send it out to sea, and then shoot a fire arrow at it? Would you believe him if he said that my dad consented before he died?
That would make it better. Even the claim would make it better.
Yeah.
It'd make it seem a lot less like he was pissing on it every day, being like, you never came to my baseball games. You weren't good enough for mom. I should have been the one married to mom.
I think I'm a big, like, I don't really care what happens to my body after I die. I haven't made any plans yet. If they still do that thing where you can, like, be planted in a tree, I'd probably do that. That's pretty cool. So I would give someone consent to do this.
I was planning to ask for it to do a weekend at Bernie's with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's a good idea. Now, explain to me what the plot of that movie is beyond what you've just described.
Do they have to pretend he's alive because they need him to close a deal or something?
I thought it was just that he was having a party at his mansion and they want to do the party, so they try and make him look like he's still alive during the weekend of the party.
So, are you just playing the... Are you just playing the other side of this argument, or you really wouldn't be bothered by this situation?
I don't think I'd be that disturbed.
Oh, I'd be disturbed. Interesting.
You know... I've lived a tragic life. I've seen a lot of death around me. I've seen a lot of things happen. It doesn't really faze me anymore, you know? Just another day.
Yeah, name some of those tragic deaths.
Huh?
Yeah, name some.
Diana. JFK. Abe. Tupac Shakur.
Oh, not Tupac Martin. Smith. Back from Lexington.
No. Tupac Smith, you back in town, you don't string mean. Where you been? No, I don't know. Martin Luther King Jr.
All right. Okay, I believe you. You don't have to name more dead people.
All right. My life is filled with tragedy.
Do you want to hear the answer?
Yeah, hit me with it.
Your letter is a first. Yeah. If you got more than one of these, Abigail, I'd be concerned.
Dime a dozen.
I might reread that. Isabel walked through the room while I was doing that. Your letter is a first. Why do I get the impression that your grandfather must have hated his father to have treated his remains so disrespectfully? The farmstead and everything that goes with it is yours now to keep or dispose of. What you need to do is decide whether to donate your great-grandfather's skull to a medical or dental school, or coven, place it in a columbarium, or bury it on your property. As to whether to tell the rest of the family, what positive things would be accomplished by sharing the unpleasantness with them? You are a caring individual. Let your conscience be your guide.
I don't know. Maybe I have too much of a blasé attitude about these things. I don't feel like this means that they hated their father at all. I think it meant they had an interesting inquiry.
What are you fucking talking about? It is patently insane to tell somebody's entire family that you've cremated them and then throw their body out behind
understand.
The shed and take
they
photos.
Wouldn't understand. And I don't want the world to see me because I don't think that they'd understand.
Do you think this would be okay to do with a dog?
If you caught your kid
doing this with your pet dog, they were like, I don't want to bury him. I want to watch him decompose. He wouldn't be like, you're a little psycho.
No, I would say that's an interesting scientific question. I foster inquiry. I think that's what I do as an educator. Why do you keep saying
it's an interesting scientific question? Once again, we know what happens.
What do you mean? What happens? Break it down for me.
Apparently, the skull stays and everything else disintegrates.
That is a little odd. The other thing I was going to disagree with is, this is kind of an answer to the question that we did with Phil last time, where they're saying when the farmstead is yours, you get to do whatever you want to it. So we got a little Abby answer about what you do with gifts, just pointing that out.
I think you're supposed to treat graves respectfully. Isn't that famously something like you don't mess with the Indian graves?
Yeah, but I don't think white graves do anything to you. So the donation is interesting because it can lead to what you were saying, where you might get the reveal that it isn't your great-grandfather, but it could be cool.
Oh, that would be a better, rather than her being suspicious, that would be a better plot point for the horror movie, which is like she's scandalized and upset by it, but ultimately believes them, donates it, and they come to her and they're like, where'd you find that body you donated to us? That was from a murder, a string of unsolved murders that happened in the 70s. Adrian, should we cut
camera
all this
slowly,
out?
The camera slowly pans to her granddad and he's like, did I do that?
It's from a string of unsolved murders perpetrated by what the media dubbed the Urkel murderer, the Urkel killer.
The Urkel Kirkle.
The Urkel Kirkle. Family matters? Not to me.
Ooh, that's good. All right, we got to cut out all this. This is a good idea.
Hollywood, here we come.
Here we come. I'm going to write this script down.
All right, Adrian, what do you buy from farmers markets? Produce tomatoes. That goes bad quickly.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might end up with a rotten tomato. So we're going to do a game about movie reviews. Okay, so this this quiz is about knowing your Rotten Tomato score. So the way this works is it's like it daisy chains them, right? So you get the first movie score, and then you tell me if the movie afterwards is higher or lower than the previous
one. So you're trying to get a streak going.
Yeah.
I've seen this with Spotify listeners before. Okay, what you got for me?
Okay, so Joker had a Rotten Tomatoes score of 68%. Bridesmaids, higher
or lower?
Oh,
Bridesmaids is higher.
You got it. Okay, yeah. The Matrix, higher or lower than 90%, which is Bridesmaids.
Oh, what do you think?
I think higher.
That I think pretty, higher.
Yeah. Ooh, no. The Matrix 88%? Had 88%. How'd you know
88%.
That?
88%. Oh, I would guess if not higher than 90, probably like right next to it, yeah.
So then
I thought because they were trying to do a Heil Hitler. I thought that's what they were trying to do when they were reviewing it.
The Clockwork Orange.
Oh, maybe we're doing the same thing where it seems like a classic movie that should be a classic out of 100, but...
It seems like it'd be lower to me. It seems like Bride at the
Maids
time...
Bridesmaids is 90s high, dude. I should watch that movie. Apparently it's good.
Doesn't Rotten Tomato let modern reviews in? So even if it wasn't like... Even if people were like scandalized at the time, now that it's considered a classic, it might be...
I'm going to still say Bridesmaids, though. No, lower.
Oh, no, it's daisy chain. So now we're at 88%. We're at what The Matrix is. Is this movie higher or lower than that?
Oh, okay, yeah. So we're not a keep it, leave it. Gotcha. Kubrick. Maybe just because of that.
Higher?
Yeah.
It was lower. It was 87%.
Okay, well, now we're really getting nickel and dime there. I could have gone in really quick and just put my score in.
Silence of the Lambs. That seems higher to me.
That's got to be higher.
It was. It's 96%. Okay, now we're at John Woo's Mission Impossible.
Lower.
You think so? You think the first one wasn't well received?
Lower than 95? What is it? 97?
Okay, I'll put it at 96 is what we were at. It was. It was 64%. Wow.
Yeah.
Green Book.
Only John Woo flick I like is the song by Conway the Machine.
Green Book.
Oh, it's got to be higher.
Yeah, right? That one won an Oscar, right? It won the Best Picture? It was, 77%.
Not that much better. Okay, 77. So we got a streak of two.
We got The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, which is obviously not a very good movie, but it was such a big studio movie that you know they paid reviewers to make it, like, review.
Is that Petey Jacks?
Oh, I don't know if he did the sequels. Maybe. Or the prequels.
Higher than 77%? Yeah, probably, because the people who watch it and review it are the people who like it, right? Like, who goes out of their way to not like The Hobbit?
I'll put higher. I think it might be slightly lower. It was lower, 64%.
Fuck. All right, we gotta at least string three of these W's together. We gotta at least get a website.
Next up, we have The Mummy. Higher or lower than 64%?
It's a great movie.
Higher?
I don't know if it's a critic, darling, but yeah, maybe higher.
Ooh, 60%. Man of Steel. This one wasn't received well, right? People disliked that.
Yeah. Wait, Man of Steel, is that a Ron Jeremy movie?
Do you want me to put lower?
Yeah, that movie sucked.
Lower, 56%. Okay. Nice. Twilight. Okay. The first Twilight. Higher or lower than...
Was it only reviewed by teenage boys?
I was going to say, this one might be colored by what you said earlier. Who's going out of their way to be like, oh, Twilight sucks, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess what actually our culture was all about that for a while.
Higher or lower than what?
56% for Man of Steel.
It's gotta be higher, right?
All right, locking it in. Lower, 49%.
Fuck.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Higher.
It was at 50%. Not significantly.
Damn. Okay.
Justice League.
Lower.
40%.
Hook. All right, that's two. We got two of them things. Hook.
Is that the live action?
Yeah, it's the Robin Peter Williams. Pan? That's Robin Williams, yeah. It's a beloved childhood classic. I don't know. We're about to get a three-peat if we can get this one.
Oh, the quiz actually timed me out. It was timed, but I can just keep telling you from here. I can see the answer, though.
Oh, well, then it's... what is it? Lower or higher than...
Than 40%.
Lower.
It was 28%.
Damn. Okay. No respect around here.
You've gotten a three-peat now. Let's see how long this streak can go. The Bourne Identity, higher or lower than 28%.
Can you see the answer?
Yeah.
Is The Bourne Identity one of the sequels?
I think it's the first one.
If it's the first one, then I think it's higher than 29%.
83%, okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Now we're at four, let's go.
The Last of the Mohicans, higher or lower than 83%.
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis?
I've never seen that one.
Parodied by South Park with The Last of the Mexicans? I'm gonna say it's higher.
It is, 93%.
Hell yeah, that's five, baby. That's five of them things.
We got The Dark Knight. The first Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan? Higher than 90?
93.
Higher than 93. Ooh, people really like Christopher Nolan. Are you a big Christopher Nolan fan?
I am.
Okay, my roommate was asking me about, like, you excited for that new one that's coming out? And I was like, that's not really my type of film. I don't know. I was like, yeah. I didn't know how to describe, like, that's not really my kind of film, bro, film.
I would not have expected you to want to see Odyssey.
Yeah. I think it's higher, right? That's got to be like, maybe it's like 92%. Are you still participating or can you still see the answer?
I can still see the answer.
Fuck, now it's all on me. It's higher.
It is by 1%, 94%.
Six, baby, keep it going.
Old Boy, 2003.
Oh, higher than 93. I'm going to guess 94.
No, lower.
92.
It was 82%.
Damn, I guess it's a more divisive film.
Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh, that's a great movie. Is it better than 82%? Was it 82%?
Yeah, 82% for Old Boy.
It is. It's a comedy movie. Comedies don't normally do amazing. But now that we're starting from the bottom, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to go higher.
It is, 90%.
Nice. That's good. That movie gets some respect. It's a good movie.
Parasite.
Oh, yeah, obviously higher.
99%. Caddyshack. Yeah.
Lower.
That's true. 72%. Scream.
The first one?
Yeah.
I think it has a high rating for a horror movie, but that's still not often enough to push you into the 80s, but maybe I'm going to say yes, higher.
Yep, 79%.
Nice.
You're at four again. First Blood. That's the first Rambo.
Oh. Higher than 79?
Or is that the second Rambo?
I think, yeah, it's the prequel. I don't know. I think the first Rambo is just called Rambo.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that one's lower.
It's not, 85%.
Damn. All right. Do you want me to pull it up so I can do this to you? We weren't doing that much better when it was you and me together. All right. Any final thoughts on the farmer's market?
On those rotten tomatoes? Yeah. Support your local farmers. No, I don't think that was the conclusion we came to. Neither me or you really are supporting the farmers there. Go enjoy outdoor activities. That's what farmers markets are about. They're about going there to be seen and to see people, you know?
And my no cap is, if you're really worried about your produce not getting rotten, get your crisper drawer, take everything out of the package, put a damp towel in your crisper drawer, and then put everything in there loose together, and your produce will last a lot longer.
And that's, tomatoes are, you're supposed to do what they do at the grocery store, and tomatoes are never refrigerated. So yeah. you shouldn't be refrigerating your tomatoes. You keep them out.
Well, yes, to a certain extent. Certain things like avocados, once they're ripening and you don't know if you're going to use them, throw them in the fridge. But that's because they're ripening on the shelf. So there are certain things where that's not always the case, but yeah.